Welcome to the Talk Write Done Writing Podcast for coaches. If like me, you're a coach and entrepreneur, you'll know you either need to hire a writer or become a writer. Whether your work in progress is a blog post, an article, or a book, here you'll find the inspiration, motivation, and expertise you need to help you succeed. I'm your host, writing coach, editor, and applied linguist, Dr. Lizzie Tangi, and I hope that together we can get our best writing done. If you love words and thinking about words and questioning words that we use in our marketing and our business, then this is the episode for you. Lara Eastburn is a sustainable Facebook and Instagram ads expert. She's a small business champion, a word nerd, extraordinaire, and a sci-fi enthusiast. She's a digital nomad and a spitfire with a potty mouth. We talked about why I thought Lara's email list was the best I'd ever signed up to, and hint, it's not about a secret or a formula, why you need to question the language of business, and how you can stand out in your marketing. Okay, so hi, Lara, and welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'll just give listeners a little bit of a background about how this came about. So Lara appeared on my Facebook feed. Facebook obviously knows me very well. And I can't remember exactly what the ad was. I think, would this be right? Speak Human on the Internet?
Yeah, Speak Human, Win the Internet is kind of my spiel.
Yeah. So this ad appeared. I did not know of Lara. Now I do. But anyway, I signed up for her email. The email arrived and then I emailed her back straight away, pretty much saying, this is the best email list I've signed up for. Can you come on the podcast? There we are. I must say, I'm not usually that
here
forward,
we are.
Lara. But the rest is history.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I enjoyed it.
Oh, did you? There we are. Lara, first of all, then, could you tell us about your business, the mission behind your business, and how you got into it.
Yeah, so I'm a Facebook and Instagram ads expert for small business, which just means I only help the little guys. So I use the power of, this massive machine, the most sophisticated marketing machine on the planet, for small businesses with very big culture-changing messages. And how did I get into that? I got lucky. I got in on the bunny slopes because it's absolute rocket science now. But I got in very, very early when it was less complicated. And so it just got harder and harder, luckily in very small bites. But I was running a product-based business that I ran for 14 years. I've run businesses since I was 12. It's like during grad school, I started this one. And we manufactured adult-sized hula hoops. I don't know if you know what those are. But think like Burning Man and Cirque du Soleil, that kind of stuff. It's like a whole dancing art form. And so we made those that lit up and fire ones and that kind of thing, and ran that for a really long time. And towards the end, that market started to get more saturated. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to figure out social media. You know, it was like maybe 2006, 2007. And so I started playing around on there and trying different things. And then one day, because this is back when like an organic post could, go viral or whatever, I had this one post that did extremely well. And of course, my analytic brain just went straight for it. Like, what was it about this one? What did this, why was this one different? And it was a picture of like my husband and my naked toddler, from behind, like, up against the fence, and she was like crawling up the fence while he was talking. And it said something like, we answer your sizing questions 7 days a week, but what you didn't know is there's a naked toddler right next to us.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
and it just went nuts. And I was like, what is it about this post? I mean, obviously adorable baby, but it wasn't just that. And that's when I started realizing that, when it comes to products or services, we all have choices. How do we choose? We go with the one we think we can trust. We go with the one we think, we feel something about the people behind it. We feel like, and that's what it was instead of showing the products, I was showing us. And that completely changed how we started marketing. And then I realized that other hooping businesses were struggling. So I started teaching them how to do ads, and that's how I got it. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can sell $100 hula hoops. I can sell anything. Like, I want to do this. I'm really great at this. So I sold that business and started this one.
Fab. Okay. So what I'd really like to dive into here is your email list that I joined. So let me get this right. Mm-hmm. So it's a list. It's one word, isn't it? And it's so the series is called One Word. And in it, you deconstruct and reinvent the received vocabulary of business. And this is what I love here. So because I think you're an applied linguist by trade. So what do you mean by that? And what do you mean by deconstructing and reinventing the received vocabulary of business?
You like that? I just threw everything in there. There's some Derrida, some Flaubert. what happened was I started taking on new clients when this new business started. And what happened too often is, you know, I would look at all their digital assets and, you know, talk to them about whether or not I could run ads for them. And over and over, like just so frequently, I would have to say something like, I don't know what this is, right? Like, I can't sell it because I don't understand it. And that seemed to me like to be becoming a really big common problem, especially with coaches, right? Yes. They were having an intensely difficult time talking about what they actually do mm-hmm. in words that meant something to me, you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I've got a doctorate in literature, but I couldn't understand this. And like, I couldn't be alone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it made me think of, in sociolinguistics, there's this thing called, communities of practice and discourse communities. And it's like you're using the language to kind of, I don't know, in a way, without getting too esoteric, I suppose, to kind of perform your identity. And it's words that people who are doing the same kind of thing as you might understand. And it's something that I didn't realize until I came into this whole kind of online coaching world. And I started looking around like with my applied linguist hat going, okay, so this is the words that you use. This is, you know, if you want to be part of this community. But it's, I don't know. And I think what I like to do with my clients is get them to kind of question the language that they're using and kind of realize that language is about choices. It's choices in the way that you're making, you know, you're expressing what you mean. And the different choices that you make are going to have a different impact on your reader or your listener. And so it's like you say, your ideal client, I've got to understand what it is you're talking about. So it's, yeah.
Well, meeting communities, that's nice. That's a nice way of talking about jargon.
Say again.
Right? Communities that you're talking about, meeting communities, that's a very nice way of talking about jargon.
Well, and it's kind of belonging to that and kind of going with the kind of what's done. This is the way we do things. This is the way we say for things, you know, in this community, I suppose.
And it works for signaling that belonging, right? But for a marketer, it was a train wreck, you know. The people that you want to have this information don't understand this. I don't know what it means. I'm talking about words like healthy, you know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. and when pressed on these client calls, they had a really hard time telling me, you know, because it's In my mind, it leaves the burden of definition on the reader, which bothers me. You know, I want you can talk about healthy, that's fine, you know, but you got to tell me what you think that means, because I don't know what it means, right? Mm-hmm. There are several culturally defined parameters for that, and they're all different, and so I would have really just trouble understanding, you know, or the worst, like, live the life you deserve, you know?
It's like, what does it mean? What does it look like in the life of the person that you're talking to? What does that mean? And things like perhaps one that I come across quite often is aligned. You know, that's another one that's kind of, do you feel, is your business aligned?
Aligned, what does that
mean? And I don't know. I mean, there are all sorts of things, and this is not a conversation about making people feel bad in any means and like going, oh my God.
Not at all. It's not their fault.
No. And so what I'd really like to think about is what are the alternatives? How can we question the language that we're using? How can we be perhaps more critical, more deliberate with our language use? So I'd be really interested in your take on that.
Well, the only goal for One Word, which is the side project that I started, right, to kind of help businesses think about this stuff, because I was thinking about it all day long and then I just wanted company, right? So I was trying to build this community of people that, you know, want to use words better in their marketing. And it's just not their fault, because especially I find for women, right? We're taught from the beginning that if you want to sell something, this is what you need to say, right? And there's a formula for it. And God forbid you venture outside of that, because the odds of you failing are astronomical, right? That's what we're sold. That's the story we're sold. You need to say it like this. And generally, it's like you need to talk like men, right? And so I started, which is what I was told when I was writing my dissertation. Same thing. You really write like a man. I was like, oh, hell no. You have taught me, right, over this entire program to do that. And now, and now you want me to do something
you
else?
You told you would write like a man.
I know.
What does that even mean?
keep your emotions out of it. Like, make sure you're on, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. That's so interesting. Okay.
Well, that was the critique at the end, but I felt I'd been taught to do that. So the way that I talk about that in terms of business and marketing is to take off the virtual business suit, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, we think we know what we do, and then we go to write it and put it online, and all of a sudden we think it has to be fancier, right? We can't just what it is. We got to use big words or fancy words or these community words. And I just don't think that's true. That's not what my grandfather taught me. Everything I know about marketing, and it was always just tell the truth, you know, and ask for help. And like, that's it. And I kept returning to that. And it's like, this is not the truth. The reason that we're having such difficulty talking about what we do in the world is because we don't feel like we're allowed to just say it. We got to make it sound fancier and like dress it up.
Yeah, or fit into these patterns or formulas or secrets.
Yes.
I've got a new writing circle starting next month, depending when this goes out. But and I've called it Write Your Way, because that's one of the things I was just so annoyed about. Oh, this is the way you've got to do things. This is the way it's got to be. And this is, you know, your process for writing a book. It has to be like this. But I think it's so different for everyone, and you've got to find your own way. While you were talking there, I wanted to find your email, because one of the things that I really liked about it was, this is the first email I think you sent me when I joined, is because it really stepped out of the conventions of what we're taught about email marketing. And it was like a breath of fresh air in my inbox, because I'm signed up to so many lists, and I know all the email marketers. I know who they've studied with and, you know, whose formula they're using. So let me just read this. Huzzah. I say huzzah a lot. So in my mind, it's a better fit here than welcome, but welcome indeed. You've just embarked upon the epistolary romance we will call One Word. In it, you and I are experimenting and breaking a few email list rules. While we're at it, these missives will be short, sweet, and tight. Each one will examine one word from the largely unexamined received language of business. I won't be sending it on a predetermined day of the week, but expect one to do a month or thereabouts. And then the third bullet point there was, you respond. Okay. And that's the speak human part. And I loved it. I was just like, oh, that's so good. Yeah, I'm in. I'm going to play this game. You know, and like I say, it was just breaking all those rules of things we're taught. You must do this. And yeah, there we are. So that was great. I hope that didn't make you cringe too much. I'd hate it if someone read my email back to me when I was on air.
Oh, no, I loved it. I know. That delights me to no end, because... yeah, I mean, look, as a marketer, I know that our email lists are really the only data we ever own, right? So when somebody's there, I want a list of people that want to be there, right? It's not just, and so I knew that I like should, which is like one of my most hated words, right? But that thing in my head was saying, oh, you should have an email list. I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about ads. I don't care. You know what I mean? I care about words. That's what I want to talk about. And I'd had one way back in the day, indebted the way I was supposed to. And I hated it because it felt like broadcasting, you know, there was so much work just to get one out. I felt like I had to do one every week. And it just, I felt like I was talking into the ether, you know, did anybody care about the thing I just read? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I'm going to do this again, then we're going to call it, you know, one word. I'm just going to do this one word. And it's literally come out to about maybe one a month.
Yeah. Because I do, you know, and the thing
massive
is,
amounts of research, but I want responses because they do take massive amounts of research.
Right. Yeah.
But because of that epistolary part, right, like write me back. And it's like just one word, you know, and it's unbelievable how many people do.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. And that's what I really like about it is the fact that you said, right, OK, it's going to be quality over quantity. I want it to be a dialogue. I want people to write back. And I love it. I love it when people reply to me. Today I sent out an email. I had one response. I'm so proud of you. So, thank you. It's just if you could
that's
get
another thing point, I do. That's another thing I do with lists is answer them when they're really good because, you know, we just know, I know what it's like to be writing them. And
yeah,
just a few words is so encouraging and so nice.
If you'd like to explore writing your way in a supportive and non-judgmental community of writers, check out my Winter Writing Circle running November to December. You'll find the link you need to register and all the information in the show notes. Laura, what three pieces of advice would you give to listeners about the language they use in their marketing? I know we've covered quite a few, but if you were going to kind of narrow it down to kind of three tips that people could use.
So the speak human part is about taking off that virtual business suit, right? Which is easier said than done. It just really is, right? To come out and say things. But one... I think Tad Hargrave has put it best. This is something I absolutely believe in.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He is. He's a favorite. And I was talking to him the other day and he was just like, look, the first job of copy is to get rid of most people. And I was like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly it. That's it.
Yes.
But that's not what we're taught, right? We're taught the opposite. It's we're supposed to attract people and persuade people and all of these, you know, in my experience, business and marketing words come down to like three categories. They're industrial, you know, like plug and play and, you know, like get roll it out or military, right? Like dominate the market and extinguish and, you know, or religious, right? Where it's like convert. So those are three categories that I find like things kind of fall into, but it's all about attraction, right? I need to attract these people. I need to make myself seem valuable. It's like, no, you're awesome. Okay. You're so cool. In fact, when you pour all of that cool into your copy, you're going to be getting rid of most people. And that's what we want.
Especially
in advertising, when I'm writing an ad, right? In the end, ads are messages we're asking people to consume without their consent. They just are. Right. But as small businesses, we need them. There's no other way to let people know what we do. So if we're going to do that, then let's do it well and just speak directly to the people that are going to care and say something that matters. That's our job, to say something that matters because it's so rare in these spaces that people recognize it. Right.
Say something that matters. I think that's really important, isn't it? So it's not just another.
And then another thing I like to say is tell a 12-year-old what you do. And if they don't get it, it's not clear enough, right? Just keep pushing and just keep pushing those words until we find the thing that, you know, feels right and feels good. And then for me, I wanted to generate curiosity, right? So I want each line to make me want to read the next one. So a tagline like speak human when the internet, freaking amazing, right? Great tagline.
Yeah.
Took me a year to come up with.
Yeah.
Just by keep pushing, but it doesn't exactly say what I do, right? But it generates enough curiosity to where like the people that are interested enough go, wait, tell me more. Yeah. And that's what I want out of copy, out of words.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic pieces of advice there. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And what do you most enjoy helping your clients with, Lara? What's the one thing you most enjoy?
Oh, I call it pulling out your weird, right? So, when I've got to make an ad, right, and I know that it's going to be in feeds with all of these other ads and all these other things, and generally what'll happen is that their first instinct is to, they want to look like everybody else. I want to look like so-and-so or so-and-so, when exactly what I need is the opposite of that, right? Yes, I need you to stand out. So I'm going to go looking for your weird, which is what I call it. That's a term of endearment in my house. But what's truly unique about what you do, because we all have something, we all started these businesses for brilliant, wonderful, beautiful reasons. And I'll generally find it hidden in the bottom of the about page. It's like generally, right? Okay, it's just hidden in the bottom. And then, and here's the coolest thing about them. It's like defines their whole business, and they completely like just buried it.
Oh, interesting. So,
pulling out your weird. And because it's not often that we look at our websites or our messaging or our ads and go, yes, you know, that feels good. That's me. That's what I do. Finding that and putting it, you know, just sort really just reformatting and rearranging.
Yeah.
And pushing some of these, you know, what I call really emptied words until we get to the gold, and then having that client go, oh, yes, you know, and then watching the opt-ins roll in, because it benefits everybody, right?
Yeah.
Being human. And
just thinking about that, what you were saying earlier on about starting with the thing that's different. And you were talking about Tad Hargraves, and for anyone that doesn't know him, his whole thing is marketing to hippies. And if you don't know who he is, go and check out his YouTube channel, because it's fantastic. And that is just what he's all about. And someone that sees him, you're either going to love him there with his ponytail and his, you know, the way that he does things, or you're not. So the majority of people, they're just going to say, no, that's not for me. But he's going to call in his people immediately because he's led with that weird bit, you know, if you like, an inverted comma.
And his tagline is another excellent example of generating curiosity, right? It's that dissonance between marketing and hippies. They're not words that we expect to see next to one another, but marketing for hippies. And what do I say? I say, ooh, what do you mean by that?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So something I always ask my guests is, what book are you currently reading, or what book would you recommend to listeners?
I'm always so embarrassed to answer this question because I don't read anything but fiction. I think it was just a function of getting it, you know, going to grad school for literature. I was like, when I got out, I was like, I'm never reading another thing I don't want to read. and so I'm a huge, massive sci-fi fan. So I just read tons and tons of sci-fi. But to answer your question, I'm going to recommend three newsletters. So,
okay.
Because good ones are rare, like we were just saying. So Tad Hargrave, for sure. Also Kelly Deals, who specializes in marketing for culture makers, right? So people with messaging that's trying to change the culture. And the last one is a little outside the box, but I love him so much. I've been reading his newsletter forever. His name's Jay Acunzo.
Okay.
A-C-U-N-Z-O. And he's really like, he does stuff for podcasters, but all he talks about is how to make content that matters. And he's constantly investigating and meditating on what it is to tell stories, what it is to, you know, say things that matter to people.
Right.
And he's incredibly smart. So all three of those, I highly recommend.
Great. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, I'll link to all those in the show notes then. So thank you very much, Lara. Before you go, where can listeners find out more about you? How can they get on your email list, which I would highly recommend? How can they work with you?
It's just LaraEastburn.com. And if you want to get on one word, it'll pop up right there. I would love to have you. I really am trying to just create a community of people that care about the words that we use in business and care about examining them. That's all we're doing, right? We're not, there's no bad words or bad guys. We're just,
no, that's it. It's just
asking questions.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
And then Yeah. And if you want ads, I'm your friend. I'm
great. Your person. Oh, well, thank you so much, Laura. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it and you can think of someone else that would like it, please do share it. And I'd love it if you could rate and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let me know if there's anything you'd like me to talk about on the show, if you know anyone you think I should interview, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Speak to you next week, and until then, happy writing.